We bid you welcome to
Valley Baptist for our Christmas cantata.
We're here to worship the King, and we're here to focus on what Christmas is really all about. You're very, very welcome. Thank you for coming, and we trust that God will bless us. Our choir's a wee bit smaller this year due to illness and other things, and so we thank you for coming and supporting the choir. We're going to start with a carol, number 152. It'll be in the overhead, of course. Once in Royal David's City stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. We're going to stand and sing 152.
Thank you.
Now let's pray together as we commit this service to the Lord. Let's pray. Maybe you're not familiar with prayer. Well, we believe that God is here. And we want to acknowledge that, and we want to pray that He will bless the choir and what is said. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this very special season of the year and the message that it brings to our hearts. And Father, maybe we have already been involved in the rush and the pressure and the shopping and the parties and the access of Christmas. But Father, we pray that for this hour, we may get past all the razzmatazz to think on what Christmas is really all about. We remember the words of Paul to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Father, we know that that is the core of the Christmas message. And Father, we thank You for the incarnation. We thank You for the birth of the Savior. We thank You for the forgiveness and cleansing that comes through putting our faith and trust in Him. And Father, we thank You for the cantata choir and all the work that has gone in over these past weeks and months. And Father, we pray that You will bless their singing tonight to our hearts, that Father, we might be encouraged, that we might be stirred to think of really what Christmas is all about. Father, we pray that tonight You will challenge us as to the way we're traveling through life, that Father, we might be reminded that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That we might be reminded that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Father, we realize that that's got nothing to do with religion or with the way we were brought up or the school that we went to. Father, we all stand condemned because of our sin. But Father, we thank You that You found a way to redeem us. You found a way to save us. You found a way to cleanse us through the person of Your Son, who came that first Christmas and who died on the cross that we might go free. Father, we do pray for those who are not well tonight, who would love to be with us but are unable. Father, we think of some who have been ill this week and are with us, and we thank You for that. We pray for those who are tuning in through the live streaming. And Father, we pray that You will bless them. And Father, we ask that all glory from tonight will not go to Bally Baptist or to the choir, but will go to Your name, for You alone art worthy. So Father, we commit this time to Thee, seeking Your blessing, praying that You will touch hearts, and that this Christmas will not be the same, because we have met with the Christ of Christmas. So Father, undertake, we pray, for Christ's sake, and for His glory alone. Amen. Let's turn to another carol before the choir comes to us. 151 is in the book, but it will be in the overhead, of course. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. 151.
Thank you.
Well, I know you haven't come to hear me tonight. You've come to hear the choir. This is a beautiful presentation. And what a lovely title. He's still the King of Kings. This world tries to rob him of his royalty. They try to strip him of his power. They try to take away his glory and his sovereignty. They try to limit him to a few hours on a Sunday. But he's still the King of Kings. Thank you, choir.
He got that night long ago was anything but royal. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, weary from a long journey, the town found no place for them and for their newborn Savior. A dingy stable was his castle, the animals were his royal court, and the manger, a feeding trough full of hay, was his only throne. Bethlehem, you were honored as the birthplace of the King of Kings. Your God came to you that night, just like he promised. Why weren't you expecting him? Why didn't you know him when he came?
Where my
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes, you bring forth honor and blessing and praise. O Lord, our Lord, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, your name is wonderful.
Sweet.
still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet he humbled himself. He made himself nothing. Though he was the eternal God, he took on the form of a servant. He became obedient, even to the point of death. Of all the wonders we celebrate at Christmas, this is the one we find most moving. Jesus Christ left the peace and the holiness of heaven. He set aside all that he had, and he came to you and to me. To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing.
Yeah.
My thanks to the choir for all the hard work practicing these Monday nights, me shouting at them. My thanks to the sound men who make us sound better than we really are. Thanks to the soloists, Sarah Jane and Deborah, to our narrator, Pauline, and to all the choir. Thank you so much. I want to read from God's Word as we have a little epilogue and just put the whole thing in context. The scripture reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Listen to the words. You know them from Sunday school days. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And amen. God will bless the reading of his word. I just want to highlight a few things. They say that men are incapable of watching a television program right through without flicking channel. I think it's part of the men's makeup. We have a short attention span. And I was flicking through the television channels a while back, and I found a repeat of a 10-year-old program which was entitled The Young Mechanic of the Year. Three teams in a scrapyard full of old wrecked cars. They were each given a car. They were given a budget of 50 or 100 pounds. And they were given half an hour. And they were to improve the running of the car. One of the teams, the one that won the competition, they stripped out all of the car that was not essential. They took the extra seats out, leaving just the driver's seat. They took away the dash and they took away the CD player and they took off the hubcaps and they stripped it back until it was just the bare minimum to lower the weight and so make it go a wee bit faster. And I thought as I watched the program, I wonder if we did that with Christmas. I wonder if we took away all the non-essentials. I wonder if we were to strip Christmas of all the things that really don't matter. Well, we could strip away the traditions, couldn't we? We could get rid of those. They're not really essential. We could get rid of the trees and the lights and the fables and the magic and the tinsel and the crackers and all the things that people seem to love at this time of the year. We could get rid of all of that. Get rid of the traditions. And then we could get rid of all the commercialism and all the panic buying and the adverts and the extravagance and the large credit card bills that hit us in January. Get rid of all of that. And then we could strip back and take away the feasting. I would miss it, I have to say. I would miss the turkey and the ham and the stuffing and the Brussels sprouts. I would miss it all. And the sweets and the chocolate and the desserts and the Christmas pudding. And maybe for some alcohol would be in there as well. And take away all the feasting. And maybe we could also take away the partying. What are we left with? Well, whenever we turn to the Bible, whenever you strip away Christmas to its core essential meaning, you're left with a baby. It's all about a baby. Strip it all back. And this Christmas, I want you to get past all the things that aren't really important. All the things that are just added over the centuries and over the years. And get back to the core message. And we find that it's a baby. That is the message that the angel gave that first Christmas night. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Whenever Mary wrapped up her new baby in blankets, she was wrapping up God's present for the world. And as we start our Christmas celebrations tonight, I want to remind you very briefly three things about this baby that's right at the center of Christmas. First of all, this baby had a history. All new babies have a beginning, but they don't have a history. Life begins there in the womb, and there's 9 months whenever mum and dad don't really know it's there, but we believe in the sanctity of life. We believe that life starts at inception. That's under attack today. We understand that. But we believe that life starts in the womb. Precious to God. And they have a future. If society would let them have a future. But this baby, this baby of Christmas time, he had a history. We marvel at the miracle of birth, but this particular baby was the God of heaven. This particular baby was Emmanuel, God with us. This baby was there whenever Adam and Eve walked the Garden of Eden. And whenever Adam sinned, this baby was there. Whenever Adam sinned and Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, away in the beginnings of history, this baby was there. This baby was there whenever the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, were making the treasure houses for the pharaohs. He was there. He was there on that great night of deliverance when they put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost and the lintel and they held on to the promise of God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The baby was there. The baby was there whenever the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. This baby was there whenever Daniel was placed in the den of lions. This baby had a history. Because this is a baby like no other. This baby is God made flesh. This baby is Emmanuel, God with us. Dear friend, this Christmas time, don't think that this baby is just like another wee baby. No, this is God in human form. This baby had a history. But something else. This baby not only had a history, but this baby had a strategy. Now, new babies don't normally have a plan or a purpose, a strategy for life. Mum might have a plan as she nurses her wee one. She's maybe hoping that she'll turn out to be a ballerina or something, or be a musician. And maybe the dad is looking at his wee son saying, well, I hope he'll take over the family farm. And I hope he'll take after following my footsteps. Granny and Granda could have a plan for the baby, but the baby hasn't got a plan. The daddy doesn't hold this little newborn just moments old and say, well, son, what exactly is your life goal? What exactly is your ambitions? What university do you plan to go to? What career do you plan to chart for yourself? No, the baby's too small. The baby doesn't have a strategy. But this baby's different. This baby not only has a history because it's God, this baby has a strategy. This baby is born with a purpose. The Christ of Christmas has a reason for coming. God had seen the sinful condition of the human heart. Every one of us. Across the globe tonight, we're all the same. We're all sinners through and through. It's in our heart. It's part of our DNA. And God saw that sin and knew that that sin would keep us out of heaven and knew that that sin would close the door of heaven to us and keep us away from God. And out of a heart of love, He planned a rescue plan. He planned a redemption, a savior, someone who could meet our need. And that's why this baby was born. This baby had a history, but this baby has a strategy. This baby had a plan to go to the cross and there on the cross to take our sin on his own body on the tree. What a strategy. This baby had a strategy to go to the cross to pay for your sin and mine. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we rejoice about the baby that was born. Because this baby had a history. This is God with us. And this baby had a strategy. He would go to the cross to take your place and mine. This baby came to die for you. And because he died for you, all who believe on him, all who turn away from their sin and embrace him as the one who took their place, the Christ of Christmas saves them and makes them a Christian. It's got nothing to do with denomination. It's got nothing to do with heritage. It's got nothing to do with what schools we went to. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. This baby had a history. He had no beginning. He was there at creation. He was one of the divine Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. There he was in creative power. This baby had a strategy. This baby came to die. This baby came to take your place. That's worth celebrating, isn't it? And you can come tonight in our cantata and you can say, well, I'm the same as everybody else. I'm a sinner. But the preacher's telling me from God's word that God sent his son and sent him to the cross and he paid the price for sin. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to embrace him as my Savior and Lord. But something else. This baby had a history. This baby had a strategy. But this baby had an eternity. This baby did not have a life expectation of 70 years or 80 years or 90 years or 100 years. This baby was unique. Because whenever they crucified him, and in those hours of darkness, as God meted out on his son the sin of the world, and they took life from him, and he was put into a tomb. 3 days later, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And dear friend, I want to tell you tonight, this baby has an eternity because he lives in the power of an endless life. He'll never die. He's at the Father's right hand. He's on the throne. He's sovereign. He's supreme. And he can meet your need tonight. This is a plan that has eternal consequences. You trust him and you enjoy heaven forever. Reject him and you endure hell forever. This Christmas, don't get too caught up with the nonsense and the trivialities of Christmas. The feasting will come and go. The shopping will wreck your bank balance. But hold on to the core message of Christmas. It's all about the baby. The baby who has a history. He's God, a very God. This baby that has a strategy. He came to take your place and to die, to cleanse you from sin. And this baby has an eternity. He ever liveth. He has conquered sin and death and the grave. And his strategy is to save you tonight. When you trust in him with all your heart. My, what a Christmas this would be if you knew the Christ of Christmas. If you knew this baby who had a history, a strategy, an eternity. I'll tell you this, Christmas isn't Christmas without him. Christmas is meaningless and empty without the Christ that it's all about. I commend him to you tonight. Because with him, you have heaven. And without him, you can have religion. You can have Bible knowledge. You can have a good life. You can have lots of charity work. But you'll not have heaven. Because only those who have the Son have life. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Start your Christmas right with the Christ of Christmas. Let's turn to another carol. And then we'll close in prayer. And then I'm sure you're dying for a cup of tea, because I know I am. It's number 148. It's be in the overhead. Why shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground. 148. Why shepherds watch their flocks by night. Father, we thank you for the joy of the Christmas message. And Father, we have tried tonight to get behind all the periphery things, to get to the real meaning, the real focus. We thank you for the Savior, the Christ of Christmas. Father, we thank you for all who are here tonight who know him personally because they've trusted him. And Father, for those that haven't, Father, we pray that this Christmas they will come and put their trust in him and embrace him, turning away from sin and saying, Christ died for me, and rest on that finished work. Father, bless the cup of tea and coffee and light supper. We thank you for all those who have been preparing that. Accept our thanks and bless each one. For we ask it in the Savior's name. Folks, have a lovely Christmas. Thank you.